Praise the Lord. Church, if we could all stand this morning. It is so great to have Sister Vicki Oliver here. And she's been such a blessing to this church over the years. She asked me not to give her, I asked her what kind of introduction she wanted, and she said she just wants me to let everybody know she's the best person in the whole world, and that she is. She's awesome. We love her. Come and preach to us, sis.
Hallelujah. Well, I don't want to accuse my pastor of an untruth, so I just won't say anything about that. Oh, it's so good to be home. There was a little girl with red shoes one time that said, "There is no place like home." And there are many weekends that I try clicking my red heels together and closing my eyes. It doesn't happen. I just have to get on the airplane again. When I get finished this year, and I will be home 2 solid weeks in December, thank the Lord, I will have been in the air 38 round trips and 10 on the ground. So that's 48 churches, 48 meetings, weekends away this year. And that's a lot of travel. And I'm not a young girl anymore. And I'm saying all that to say, you will never know how much I appreciate my home church. And all of you that connect with me, you text me, you inbox me, you Facebook me, you let me know you're praying for me. Sometimes I don't even have a moment to respond. I might be sitting on a platform somewhere, and I'll get a text from one of you. And you are right on time, and God uses you. Because we're a family. We're a family, and we're all family. There's a worldwide kingdom, the family of God. But this local family means the world to me. And you know, it will be, or it was, 2 years that I've been here, the last weekend of September. Time flies when you're having fun. And I just want you to know I appreciate you and love you very much. I have sought God for today and for these services. Pastor said we are feeling something very special in the place today. No man comes unless he draws them. He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. What we're feeling is you have worshiped him, so he's come in. And when he gets here, you feel it. And we know that he can do anything today. There is nothing too big for him. And so as you turn in your Bibles to Psalm 51, I want you to let your expectation rise today. A Holy Ghost Sunday. That means an outpouring of the Spirit of God for everyone that already has it and for those who have not yet received it. It's going to happen today in Jesus' name. That's what that means. But let's not limit God, because we will see healings and miracles and deliverance when he comes in the house, and he's here. I'm going to read this portion with you today, and I chose this because if we want the Holy Ghost, which is God living inside of us, the Bible tells us it's necessary. It's part of the plan of salvation. The Holy Ghost is what's going to take us up when he comes. So we need to have the Holy Ghost to go to heaven. And if we're going to receive it, there is something we must do first. Even if you're receiving a refilling of the Holy Ghost, we must repent. There is confusion about that word, repentance. Because repentance is not just saying, I know I have a dirty heart, Jesus, I'm sorry, please forgive me, and then going back out and doing the same things over and over. Repentance is a mindset. It's not an activity. It's a mindset that I am going to turn my life over to him, and I'm going to turn away from sin in my old life. We need to get a picture of what real repentance is. Does it mean you're going to be perfect? No. Are you going to mess up? Yes. But are you going to go years and years and years saying, I'm sorry, Lord, and then going back out and doing it again? That's not repentance. And the best way I know to describe repentance is right here in Psalm 51. This is a real picture of what a prayer of repentance sounds like. David was repenting. We're going to see what he had to say to the Lord after he had sinned. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Many times we read that last part, create in me a clean heart, because he doesn't move in a dirty heart. And today, for your hearing, just a simple little message that God gave me entitled, Something Better. Turn to your neighbor and say, Something Better. And you may be seated. Brother Grant, Bishop, I love you and I thank you for your voice in my life. And today as I minister, I submit myself to you and to Pastor Roy, and they are my covering. It's important to have a covering in the Holy Ghost. I want that always to be clear. Something better. Did you notice that last little portion we read said, Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit? Restore is a wonderful word, but I want to clearly define for you what that means today. Because restoration in the world has become a very big thing. Matter of fact, it's become trendy. Everything is shabby chic. What that means is what we used to throw away now looks great. I'm glad. The older I get, I like that. Shabby chic. Restoration, by definition, means the act of returning something to a former owner, place, or condition. So let me give you an example. A sentence to use that word restore in would be, the man was very sick. The doctors gave him medicine, and he was restored to health. That means he once had health, and the doctors have helped him, and now he's back to health. He's the same thing that he was before. That's the world's definition of restoration. And taking this very slowly today, because I want to be understood, not misunderstood. Restoration in God does not mean you are back the same way you were before. It means that it's always something better. When God gets done with your life and whatever he's doing in your life, it's always better. It may not look like it at the time, but once you walk the path a little ways, you can look back and say, wow, my life is better. He never leaves you the way he found you. And so understanding this, the synonyms for restoration or restoring is repairing, fixing, mending, rebuilding, refurbishing, reconditioning, rehabilitation, reconstruction, redevelopment, overhaul, or renovate. I was looking for an old screen. I saw on Pinterest something that I actually decided to not just pin, but do. You're laughing because you've done the same thing. I found an old screen, and I was going to take lights and little clips and pin it across that screen to clip pictures of my children and grandchildren, the loves of my life. I was looking everywhere for this old... I'm thinking I should be able to pick up an old ratty screen that I can do this with for nearly nothing. I had $3 in my mind, you know? I have moved to Wisconsin. I'm living in Evansville, out in the middle of nowhere. And I decided I'm going to do a rustic-looking dining room. I've never done that. The farm life is getting in me. I mean, I just... passing all these yak farms and cow farms, and every time I drive anywhere, it's just getting next to me. And so, you know, I'll have you over for dinner sometime, and you can see my dining room. I'm looking for this screen to hang on that dining room wall. I find it. I'm so excited. It's laying on, at a flea market at a table. It's on the ground, and it has 7 colors of paint. It's peeling. It's even got bird doo-doo on it. I mean, it's the authentic deal. And I'm thinking, this is exactly what I'm looking for. And I pick up that screen, and it is $30. $30 for something that we used to just, you know, tear out of the house and be thankful we can replace and throw it away. They want $30 for this thing. Because we're living in a world that it is common to repurpose things. Put them back the way they were and use them. We like that. Restoration. There are over 300 television shows across the nation. Over 300 on restoring and renovating. Flip This House. Extreme Makeover. The Fix. Home Improvement. This is all a trend. But if we're not careful, we begin to think that God doesn't have the kind of power that he has. And we begin to limit his abilities. And when he gets done with us, we're not just the way we were. I have an example that just happened in my life. I was walking the aisles in a church just 2 weeks ago, and I was in the middle of my message. God is doing something in me. And this comes out of pain. When you go through hard things and hard times, something good always comes out of it, because he's giving you something better. And so I'm searching, you know, I went through all of this, Lord, so now I'm waiting for you to show me what's better. And I'm walking in it, because this kind of stuff is just happening. I'm in the middle of my message. It's so unlike me. And I wheeled around to a woman sitting there, and I said, ma'am, the blood clots in your lungs are not only going to dissolve by the time you go for your scan, but I mean, it's going to be like it never happened. In Jesus' name, body, obey your maker. I went on with my message, and my flesh, my mind, and the enemy of my soul is saying, what did you just do? Have you lost your ever-loving mind? But my spirit was strong. And see, there's a vein of the spirit that we've got to get in, where your spirit says, you know, it really doesn't matter what the flesh thinks or what the devil says. It's in the word, and I have the authority to walk in whatever is in the word, because God wants to give us something better. We live way beneath what God has for his church. Honestly, it was probably for my own sanity that the Lord helped me to just even forget that I did that. So much happened, and I gave the altar call, and people got the Holy Ghost, and the next service came, and there were 2 services after that one, and so I forgot about it, thank the Lord. And I got the text on Tuesday. Sister Oliver, I have a victory testimony for you. the woman that you spoke over during the service about her lung condition. She had her scan today. The doctor came in and said, not only are all of those blood clots gone, but there is no scarring. It is as if they were never there. I'm talking about what the church needs to be walking in. God is a healer. He always does something better. He didn't just restore. He didn't just take those away, but he made it as if it never happened. You got stuff in your life that God's ready to make it as if it never happened. He's ready to take the sting out of it. He's ready to heal your heart. He's ready to restore your health. Hallelujah. Something better. I'm going to tell you a little story. Surprise. This story happened to me. God's going to unfold this little analogy today like a biblical parable. He spoke in parables, an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. When I was a little girl, I had lots of big ideas. I've told you before, I was not an easy child to raise, and I was a late in life baby. I had attention deficit disorder with hyperactivity before they knew what it was. They didn't have pills. I remember my parents coming in and finding my brand new clock radio apart in pieces all over the bed. And asked me why I did that. Don't ask kids why they do stuff. They don't know why. They just do it. I mean, I was a nightmare really to raise. And so, you know, I always had lots of ideas. And those ideas have helped me now in later life with what God was going to use. So remember that. God uses wiggly kids and challenging children. I was very challenging. And I got an idea. All I want to do the rest of my life, Mom and Dad, is I want to be a world-renowned ventriloquist. I want to learn how to throw my voice, and I really want to do this. This is what I'm going to do the rest of my life. I'm going to be on Hee Haw. I know none of you know what Hee Haw is. That was my life's goal. And so I begged and begged and begged for a Howdy Doody doll. If you don't know what Howdy Doody looks like, there he is. He's a creepy little thing. I mean, he really is kind of creepy looking. And those of you who are young, you probably never saw Howdy Doody, but it was very popular when I was a child. And they were playing the shows, Howdy Doody show, and this man had this down to an art ventriloquism. He would set that dummy on his arm, and he would throw his voice and move that little string, and that doll would talk, and it would sound exactly like, you know, it was the doll. You couldn't detect. You watched that man, you couldn't see his lips move at all. That's what a ventriloquist does. They, you know, they just smile. And they can throw their voice. And I was determined that's what I was going to do. I begged my parents for Howdy Doody. Please get me a Howdy Doody. My dad said, this is not happening. That doll is over $100, even back then. We are not buying Howdy Doody. We're not doing that. And just get that out of your head. Well, I tried real hard to get that out of my head, and as time passed, I decided maybe that wasn't my life's calling because it changed daily. And I had seen a little television show called Family Affair, and there was a little girl on there, and her name was Buffy. And Buffy had a doll, a Mrs. Beasley doll. Mrs. Beasley is on my screen, my title screen, if you'll put that back up, please. And she was a grandmother doll. I mean, who ever heard of a grandmother doll? I didn't have grandparents nearby or in the home. I only had one grandmother living when I was born and didn't see her very often. I just didn't have that relationship. And so this intrigued me, this loving little glasses and a little bib tied and little grandma doll that talks so nice to you. A lot of adults didn't talk nice to me. But if you pulled her string, she said 7 different nice things. Can I tell you a story? Would you like me to rock you to sleep? I thought, man, this would be so nice to have a grandma doll. So I started wearing my parents down. I want Mrs. Beasley for Christmas. Okay, I'll never ask for anything else as long as I live. You know how it goes. Please, oh please, it's all I want is Mrs. Beasley. Daddy would say the same thing. We don't have a lot of money. We'll have to see. Dad worked two jobs. He worked in a factory by day. He worked at a gas station by night. Not a lot of money came into our house. We had our needs. He did not encourage me at all, but every chance I got, I brought Mrs. Beasley in the store to him. I talked about Mrs. Beasley. I begged and begged. She was $30. And Christmas morning, there was Mrs. Beasley. I was so excited when I unwrapped her and took her out of that box and I squeezed her tight and, oh, thank you. Thank you, Daddy. Thank you, Mommy. This is the best day of my whole life. Thank you. Mrs. Beasley was in the middle of my bed. I pulled that string and pulled that string and pulled that string. She talked so nice to me. Christmas was over. The trimmings were taken down. And school was still out. Dad went back to work. That nightmarish week that my mom had me at home, I only played for 3 days with something usually, and it lost its newness. And Mom was busy, and I was alone, and I had an idea, a great idea. I would become the world's renowned transplant surgeon. I went to the kitchen and opened the drawer and got out a sharp, very sharp steak knife, stuck it in my little jean skirt pocket. I opened another drawer and got out my scissors and put it in another pocket. I slipped my way down that hallway without being noticed at all. I shut the bedroom door and I got Mrs. Beasley. Now, I had forgotten all about a conversation. Children are very forgetful. My dad, before I ever carried Mrs. Beasley to my bedroom, said to me, "That doll cost a lot of money. I don't want you to play with her outside. She's not to go outside. I don't want you to take a marker and color all over her face. I don't want you to take scissors and cut all of her hair off." These things had always, you know, happened. He said, "I want you to learn to take care of things. You're 6 years old now. It's time that you learn to care for things. Things cost a lot of money. Now, you begged and begged for this doll, and we're going to see if you can take care of her." "Yes, Daddy." As I carried the scissors and knife down the hallway, sneaking into my room, I completely forgot that conversation. And I laid Mrs. Beasley on her tummy on the gurney, and I took the knife and poised it above her head, and the brain surgery commenced. I poked a hole in the back of her head, and I took the scissors and stuck it in that hole, and I cut a perfect square out of the back of her head and laid it over on the bed. I flipped her over on the gurney, and I took the steak knife, and I stuck it in the corner of her mouth, right in the corner of her rubber lips. Bam! And I pulled it very quickly across her mouth to her earlobe. Whoops. I meant to stop at the corner, but that cut went all the way to her earlobe. Well, I picked Mrs. Beasley up, and I found that it was successful when I set her on my arm and put my hand in that hole in the back of her head and put my fingers down into her rubber lips that wouldn't move. And I thought, now nothing will stop me. I am going to be a world-renowned ventriloquist. I slipped the scissors and knife back into the drawer. I practiced all day long. I looked in the mirror with Mrs. Beasley sitting on my arm, and I had learned to smile. And through my voice, "Hello, ladies and gentlemen, I'm Mrs. Beasley." I mean, I thought I was doing great. I couldn't wait for evening when I would present my performance to my parents. I practiced all day. I had it down pat. Mom and Dad were in their chairs, and Dad was in the recliner. Mom was in her rocker. I'll never forget, she was crocheting. She was always crocheting doilies and crocheting hankies. I mean, the lace on this, my mama did. She was sitting there crocheting, and Daddy was sitting there with his head down snoring. I mean, you know, I told you, I was born late in life. It's like living in a nursing home. I walked in, and I was so happy. I'm going to put on this performance. I said, Daddy, wake up. Wake up, Mama. I've got a show for you. And they're just beaming. They beamed at anything I did. You know, they're just so proud, and they're just beaming. And I whipped Mrs. Beasley out and put her on my arm and stuck my fingers in that hole in her head. And I said, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. And let me tell you, the atmosphere changed. Kerwham went the recliner. Dad sat straight up, and Mama grabbed her doily, and she put her face in that doily, and she began to sob. And I'm thinking, what's the big deal? I mean, I'm being creative. You don't have to buy me Howdy Doody. I made my own. And I'm thinking, what's the big deal? My dad came unglued. And he came unglued because that doll had cost him something. And because he had told me, he had made it very clear that I was not to do that. That I was not to destroy what he bought and what he so lovingly gave me. And I'm talking today about just good old-fashioned repentance. And when you bring your heart to the Lord, it is not just a casual, well, here I am, let's see if this works. Let's see if what you people say is true. Here I am, Lord, if you want to give me the Holy Ghost, I'll try this. Oh, no, 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 no. We jokingly say sometimes, well, if you don't like it, you know the devil will take you back. Well, that's true. But no one should take this salvation casually, because he went to an old rugged cross and they whipped him and beat him until he didn't even look like a man. They put nails in his hands and feet and pushed a crown of thorns down on his head. They put a spear in his side and his heart broke. Looking down through time, he saw this service. So the casualness of, well, God will forgive me. If I do it again, he'll forgive me. If I mess up again, he'll forgive me. Oh, no, it's not a casual salvation. It's a life change. Lord, purge me with hyssop, for I'm unclean. I have sinned against thee, Lord. Please forgive me. Why? Because it costs him something. And then why do we just keep walking this and doing our best and not taking our walk with God casually? Why? Because we have instruction. We're instructed from this word and from this pulpit over and over. Don't despise good preaching where pastor tells us how to live, where we have Bible studies that help us know what the Bible says. We got to have the instruction. I had instruction. Even as a six-year-old child, I looked at my dad and my mama's face, and I remember so clearly. I realized, I had never seen it before, but on that occasion, I realized what I had done. It wasn't a, I'm sorry because I'm going to get spanking. It wasn't a, I'm sorry because I got to get out of this. Quit telling God you're sorry so you can get out of it. A lot of people say, well, I feel God and I talk in tongues. Please don't make that your indication of whether you're right or not. That's just his mercy reaching out and touching you again. You can talk in tongues all night and still not be ready for the rapture. His gifts are without repentance. He won't take your Holy Ghost away. So don't say, well, I can sin and still talk in tongues. I must be okay. Oh, no, no, no. That's not repentance. I realized, 6 years old, I messed up. Daddy told me not to do it, and I messed up. Mama's crying. I've broken her heart. I've messed up. begin to weep and cry. I said, Daddy, I'm so sorry. Daddy, I'm sorry. Mommy, I'm sorry. My dad got up out of that chair. I'll never forget it. He took Mrs. Beasley out of my arms. I heard the back door, screen door shut, and I heard the lid of that old metal trash can. He put her in the trash can and slammed that lid. Came back in the house. Said, now I want you to go to your room and go to bed. Yes, Daddy. I did a lot of thinking. A little 6-year-old girl usually sleeps quickly and soundly, but I didn't. Because what I had done was real to me. Repentance comes when you realize who you are, that you need your Savior, that you were born in sin, that you'll never be right without Him. It's not just to keep from going to hell with the devil. It's not just because it's modern and common to do. It's not because it's what everybody around me wants me to do. It's realizing I need my Savior. I was sorry. I finally went to sleep. And the next morning, I remember sitting up on the side of my bed, and I was filled with dread. As filled with dread as a little 6-year-old kid can be. I didn't want to get up. I didn't want to walk down the hall. You know, sin will make you sick. There ought to be a point in time where all of us say, you know, I got to stop doing this because it's making me sick. I loathe myself. I don't like myself. I don't have joy. He said He'd restore the joy of your salvation. The reason why you don't have joy is because you're trying to have a foot in the world and a foot in the church, and that's never worked. You'll be miserable until you say, Lord, I give you my all. I walked down that hallway. I was so worried. I was so worried. I remember thinking, one of my sisters had told me, and I've told you this before, but they told me they found me on a log in the backyard. They said, Mom, Dad found you on a log. They never wanted you. They felt sorry for you. They're going to take you to the orphanage one day. I was always waiting for that day. Every time I did something bad, I would go back to that, and I think that today's the day they're going to get rid of me. They never wanted me anyway. I was walking up that hallway, and I was sorrowful. I thought, if they don't give me away this time, they're never going to do it. This is it. I walked into the kitchen, my head down. Mama was frying bacon and eggs. And she turned around with a big smile on her face. She said, good morning, baby. How would you like your eggs today? You want them scrambled with cheese? How do you want your... Daddy smiled real big. Come on, baby. Come sit down here by Daddy. You want me to butter your toast for you? You want strawberry jelly? We're going to have a great day today. We're going to have a big time. We got a family day planned today. I waited. It was never mentioned. From that day to this, it was never mentioned. It was never a funny story that the family told later. It was never mentioned again. And I realized on that day that what a 6-year-old saw in my mom and daddy's behavior and in their eyes was a picture of my Jesus, because He doesn't send anybody to the trash can, and He's never done with you as long as there's breath in your body, and He doesn't hold it against you. He doesn't hold a grudge. He's never mad. He's not mad at you. You might feel like you're ready for the trash can and you are mad at yourself and you loathe yourself, but I want you to know that's not what Jesus sees. He sees a soul that He died for and that He loves, and He's just waiting for that day for you to come running to the altar and say, Lord, I need You. A perfect example of restoration. It was as if it didn't happen. When God takes the life of a man or a woman that has been in deep sin, they're full of addictions, they're full of brokenness, and they come to God, it begins a process. Once they repent of their sins and their old life, once they go down in the water in Jesus' name, once they're filled with the Spirit and they speak with tongues, it begins a journey. Because what begins is something better. Restoration takes place. He puts you back not the way you were, but he makes you something better. Always. Everything he touches is always better. Hallelujah. We ate our breakfast. I was in awe of Mom and Daddy. They never spoke of it. It wasn't mentioned. They treated me the same, you see. They didn't hold a grudge. People might hold a grudge. Jesus doesn't hold a grudge. The Bible says that he forgets our sin. He chooses to forget. You know what? You may forgive somebody for something, but it will be a day by day forgetting. You'll have to make that choice every day to forget. But not Jesus. He chose to forget. He doesn't remember at all what you did yesterday, if you really repented. That's awesome. I was so very thankful because I had destroyed something that cost a lot. I had disobeyed, but I found mercy. That's what you find at the foot of the cross. You shouldn't be afraid to come to this altar if you need the Holy Ghost today. And the Lord spoke to me expressly to tell some of you that are not sure. Listen, when you receive the Holy Ghost and you speak in tongues, the first thing that happens is the devil will try to tell you it was not enough. That you didn't say enough words, it wasn't loud enough. That you don't feel any different. That people were looking at you funny. And that's why in this church we have a phenomenal altar team, because people have been trained to work these altars and to help you without being invasive. You need the Holy Ghost and you are afraid of people being around you. You're intimidated by that. You don't want people touching you. You don't want to come up here. Listen, we're just watching so that we can come to you, because you can get the Holy Ghost right where you are. And you'll get it according to your personality. And if you're quiet, you can get it quietly. We encourage you to speak it out big enough that you hear it and you feel it, because we know what's going to happen. It happened to all of us. The devil comes and says, oh no, I don't want them to be something better. And so he says, it was not enough. You made that up. You really didn't do that. You didn't talk in tongues. And the Lord said, today there are those of you who have a hidden secret. You're too proud to let anyone know because you claimed you had the Holy Ghost. Somebody handed you a certificate and shook your hand. And so every time the altar call is given for those who need the Holy Ghost, you don't come because it's embarrassing that you said you got it. Listen, I experience this everywhere I go. We're going to take the cover off that thing today. There's some of you that have not talked in tongues for years. Some didn't talk in tongues since they got the Holy Ghost, and you're ashamed, you're embarrassed. Don't be embarrassed. Please understand that the devil told every one of us that, and we all had to pray back through again. We did, and again and again. So when the altar call is given here in a few minutes, you come along with those who have never spoken with tongues, and the Lord is going to fill you quickly, painlessly. You're going to feel wonderful. Why? Because he's in the restoration business. He wants to make you something better. He takes away your old stony heart and gives you a new heart. Something better. If you need healing today, do you know that in the Bible, the apostles walked by people and they were healed? And the Bible says, greater things than these shall we do. So why is that not happening? Because we're not living in that faith realm. You see, we have doctors we can go to, and we can get pills, and we can get shots, and we can get surgeries. And please don't go out of here and say, Sister Oliver's against doctors, because that would be false. I believe that God uses medical science, but I do believe it's displeasing to the Lord, and we are selling ourselves short by not operating in the faith realm. He operates in healing and miracles in that realm. But we have a choice. sometimes we have to get pushed into our choice. I used to have great insurance. I could go to the doctor for little to nothing. They took care of everything. The medicine was little to nothing. My life changed 2 years ago, and I don't have good insurance. I have very awful insurance. You might not even call it insurance. It's called pay-as-you-go insurance. Some of you are nodding your head. Unless you live there, you don't know what that's like. And the devil will try to use fear in that realm. And he'll say, look at you. If something happens to you, it's going to wipe you out. Well, you can't wipe out nothing. I don't have nothing anyway. Can't get blood from a turnip. And so I talk back to the devil like that because he's so crazy. You know, he doesn't know what he's talking about. He's crazy. And so I talk back to him, but he will get in your head with this stuff. So, you know, a very healthy individual, all of a sudden I have these things happening to me. And God says to me, okay, old girl, you can't go just anytime now and get you a pill, can you? So what you going to do? Vicki, Oliver, I'm going to give you something better. I got a little bottle of anointing oil. And I put it in front of the ibuprofen in my cabinet. So that's the first thing I see. And so I had something happen. I mean, I'm not kidding you. My shoulder, where you connect up here, your shoulder and your arm, I mean right in that joint, it felt like my arm was hanging. I woke up one morning, and I'd been having a little bit of something there, and all of a sudden, I mean, it is excruciating. It is down into my fingers. My hand is going numb. It was my right arm, not my left, so I didn't think it was my heart. I mean, I can't call a squad. I can't go to the doctor without it costing me a lot of money. And so here I am, and I just suffered through the day. My daughter kept saying, Mom, you probably ought to have that checked. I mean, literally, we're driving in the car, and I'm going, oh, when it hit real bad, and put my hand above my head because it would relieve it a little. What kept coming to my mind is you got a tear. Dragging that luggage off the belts and in and out of your car and all of that, you got a tear there. That's what kept coming to my mind. I mean, I was in pain. And so two or three days, I mean, it took me that long to get in the faith realm. How much pain you have to suffer before you step into that realm? I'm sitting in my chair in the living room. And I said, now, Jesus, you said that you would heal. And everybody you came in contact with, they were healed. And so I am not accepting this. If I'm going to do your work and drag this junk around, I have got to have movement of my arms and my shoulders. So in the name of Jesus, and I took my hand, body, obey your maker. Tear, I am commanding you to mend right now. You do what the body designed you to do. Pain, you must go. You cannot dwell in this body in Jesus' name. I lifted my hand and I began to thank the Lord. I lifted my other hand and began to thank the Lord and realized that the pain was completely gone. I haven't had a pain in that shoulder, in that arm sense. I'm talking about a faith realm. This is what's going to draw men and women to this church in this last hour. We're going to step into that realm where we get things right with God and He can move and operate through us. Hallelujah. I'm seeing miracles and healings. A little boy that was born without the ear apparatus to hear at all. Big old hearing aids. Still could barely hear. In a children's crusade, the children came up around him. God said, I want to heal him. I declared it to the children. God said he wants to heal this boy's hearing. Those children stretched out their little hands because they're little bundles of faith. And they began to pray for that little boy. And one little boy that's just a little powerhouse like your little guy. I mean, he came up and he put his hands over that little boy's ears. And when he did, I felt something in the Holy Ghost. I said, body, obey your maker. Be whole in the name of Jesus. And I mean, a few moments later, he is just thanking the Lord. I said, now let's thank him for it. He jerks those hearing aids out. He puts them in my hand. He said, take these. It's way too loud in here. A miraculous healing. God had put back what wasn't there. I'm talking about something better. This should cause your faith to rise today and understand there's always something better. Hallelujah. We walked out of that children's crusade and the adults were being in the altar with Brother Stone King. And that little boy, I mean, he walked straight up that aisle. He handed those hearing aids that Brother Stone came. He said, just wanted you to know, sir, God healed me in children's church, and I don't need these anymore. Now I'm going to get a drink of water. It was that matter of fact. Healing should become that matter of fact to God's people. Miracles should be happening among us, and we should be telling it with our mouth. The testimony is so important to what God is doing in this last hour. That little voice will say, what if I ask somebody to come that has cancer and then God doesn't heal them? Let's just take the cover off that right now. That's not your business. If God says no, he's got something better in mind. If he had said, no, Vicki, I'm not healing that shoulder. No, he would have had a plan and a purpose for it. That's what faith is. I trust him and believe even when he says no. But I don't go into it expecting a no, because everybody he touched, he healed. Hallelujah. I just popped my button. It's not because I'm fat. It's because I'm excited. I'm talking about something better. I want something better, don't you? Would you come to the keyboard? Give these people hope. Behold, I make all things new. Lift your hands and thank the Lord for healing. The miraculous. The miraculous. Something better. In the name of Jesus. All glory and honor belongs to you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I preached a form of this message in New Berlin, Brother Myers Church, a year ago. Just, you know, a form of it. And I came home and I got a phone call from a precious couple that attends that church. I said, Sister Oliver, we ask our pastor if we could have you to our home. And he said it was fine. Well, I would love that. I'd love to come and visit with you. I put the date on my calendar. It's about an hour and 15 minutes or so away. And on a Thursday night, I drove to their home. We had a wonderful visit in their beautiful, humble home full of God's presence. After the visit had gone on for a little while, I noticed the body language. She nodded at him, and he nodded back at her and smiled, and something going on there. And he left the room. And he came back in the room with a gift bag. My wife and I appreciate you so much, Sister Oliver, and I got you something. He said, but I got you something that the Lord spoke to me about. He said, I want you to have this. I said, well, thank you. I love presents. I was like a kid on Christmas. I opened the lovely little gift bag and the Lord spoke to me. He said, this is a picture of restoration. I stood there weeping. The presence of the Lord filled that room. See, restoration isn't somebody got her out of the trash can and 50 years later handed her to me with her head cut open and her mouth slit. That brought back a bad memory. That's not what restoration is. Quit thinking about what you used to do. Quit posting about it and talking about it unless God tells you to tell it. Quit talking about it all the time. That's not restoration. That's the past. You see, there's a rearview mirror and then there's a big, wide windshield. You have to make a choice. That rearview mirror is very small, and I can keep my eyes on that small little picture of the past, or I can turn and look out that big bright windshield into the future, because I know God has something better. When He's done with you, it's always better. Sister Oliver, how can it be restoration? I mean, it's the same doll. Oh no, friend, it's not. Because when I was 6 years old, 50 years ago, she was worth $30. But this doll is worth $300. Something better. Something of greater value. Something He can use. Quit selling yourself short. It's time for the church to stop worrying about me all the time. And let God use you for the miraculous. When we begin to operate in the gifts of the Spirit, we begin to see the miraculous. We will not be able to stop the end time revival in this church. A picture of restoration. Those of you who do not have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you've never spoken in tongues before, I would like for you to come, and to make you comfortable, I want you to sit on the front rows right here, these two rows. You have never spoken in tongues before. Don't make me come get you. I know who you are. Well, Sister Oliver, you said that we don't have to come up there. No, you don't, but I really would like for you to. And that's why I'm letting you sit down. You won't even have to look at anybody. Now, if you know somebody, offer to walk with them. It can be scary from there to here. Listen, all of us have done it that have the Holy Ghost. We did. We saw our need, and we came. Those of you who haven't talked in tongues for a while, the Lord's even drawing you during the service. I want you to get out and come and stand right up here. You want a refilling. It's Holy Ghost Sunday. Maybe you're not sure you ever received it, or maybe you are sure, but you just want a refilling. This is driving me crazy that nobody's getting out of their seat. You don't want a refilling? You want to just go have dinner? I came to get my refilling on, thank you, on Holy Ghost Sunday. This precious girl needs a Holy Ghost. She's going to get it today. Today. Everybody stay away from her. She's going to get it real easy. You're not sure you got it? Or you just want a refilling? Oh, you're not all up here yet. Look around you. There's some folks that need the Holy Ghost. Young people, every one of you need a refilling of the Holy Ghost. Move in. Move in. I was coming to get you. Good thing you came on your own. Scoot on in. Every one of you. You are faced with sin and awful things every day. You're hearing it. You're seeing it. You can't even go on the media without something coming up. You need the Holy Ghost. You need to repent today. A real repentance, and let God refill you today. He's going to do it. He's going to do it. I bind confusion and distraction, and I lose peace right now. I bind the spirit of fear, and I lose faith. Now, those of you who are standing, will you take a giant step forward, because you're right on top of the people that need the Holy Ghost. Get away from that front row. Get away from that front row. If we have to spread out a little further, this way and this way. Everybody, close your eyes. Start thinking about Jesus. Get everything else off your mind. Lift your face, because He wants to look right into that face He created. He's not sending you to the garbage can. He loves you. Don't hang your head in shame. Lift your hands to where they're comfortable in your space. If you've never raised them before, it might feel uncomfortable. Just a little bit, so you feel comfortable. Because you're saying, "Here I am, Lord. Here I am, Jesus. You're doing so good." Now, on this last step, when we begin to repent, as soon as your heart is cleaned out, He's going to move in. You're going to begin to speak with tongues. Nobody has to touch you on the head. Nobody has to even be around you for you to speak with tongues. The Holy Ghost is here. It's going to just spread across this building. So when you begin to talk in tongues, I don't want you to hold your voice down and whisper. I want you to speak it out loud. Let the devil hear you speak it. You're going to step into the miraculous right now. Now let's all repent together. Lord, I need you today. I'm undone without you. I've got to have you in my life. I turn away from those things that are not of you. Please forgive me, Jesus. Please clean out my heart. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Receive ye the Holy Ghost. There it is right there. It's already falling. Go ahead and open your mouth. Go ahead and open your mouth. In the name of Jesus. Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Receive ye the Holy Ghost. There it is right there. In the name of Jesus, receive ye the Holy Ghost.
Reach out to Him. Reach out to Him.
Now I stand in the house of God.
By faith, receive the Holy Ghost.
And I worship my King.
By faith, receive the Holy Ghost.
I'm washed in the blood.